I apologize that last week the arrangement didn't work out, so we'll review a little bit the part that didn't come out last week too well. And we said that the first 11 malachas are referred to by the Gemara as Sidura de Pas. You plow, then you plant grain, then you harvest it, then you grind it up, then you do Lisha, then you do the Afiyah. And the first 11 malachas are Sidura de Pas. So that's a question whether this idea of Sidura de Pas is it just in order to remember the order of the first 11 malachas? Does it have any halachic significance? Could be that it's relevant for the Shia. The Shia is Kigregris on almost all of them. Could be that it has other nafkaminis as well. When Yechayv Shtaim, when Yechayv Achas, Absalitri thought that that may play a role, Sidura de Pas. So we pointed out last week that there is a Mishnah Chala that one is Chayv and Chala if Chilosa Isa Ibno Sofo Sibkonin or Chilosa Sibkonin but Sofo Isa. What do you mean Chilosa and Sofo? So the Rabbein Tam, there's a Machlokes of Rishonim how to translate the words. So Rabbein Tam learns Chilosa Isa means that you had a Blila Ova, you had a thick dough. And Chiloso Sufganin means you had a batter that pours. It's not a thick dough that you have to knead and you have to pick it up. It doesn't pour. So Rabbein Tam learns this is relevant for Chiyuv Chala as well as for the Bracha of Hamotzi as opposed to Bar Minim Zaynus. Let's say if you cook flour with water and you cook it and you make some kind of cereal out of it, that's going to be Bar Minim Zaynus. But that'll never become Hamotzi. In order to be Hamotzi, you have to have a Shem Lechem, Hamotzi Lechem in Haaretz. Cake is Pas Abobikis, and it's a subcategory of Pas, subcategory of Lechem. It's Chayim Echala, cakes and cookies are Pipashtas are Chayim Echala, because Vayabacholchem Lechem Haaretz, it is called Lechem. But because it's a subcategory, it's a Pas Abobikis, usually eaten as a snack, as an ash. So that's why we're makel on the cake sometimes. You don't have to wash until it's a dine. Instead of saying hamoitzi, you say very many mizayin. Instead of birchas hamazon, usually if you eat lechem, you eat pas, you say birchas hamazon. So over here, if you're only eating it as a snack, then you say ala michya. And if you are kadeh asuda on the cake or the cookies, then since it is pas, so then you say hamoitzi, then you have to wash until it's a dine in advance, and then you have to recite the whole birchas hamazon. It's not sufficient with ala michi. If you're going to have, let's say, oatmeal cereal, even if you eat a ton of it, it's not going to become hamotzi. There's no body, there's no loaf shape. It doesn't have its source hapas at all. In order to be considered pas habobikis in the subcategory of lechem, you have to have its source hapas. The Gemara talks about turisa dinahama, source hapas, to determine whether you say mezainis or hamoitzi. If it has teresa de nama, if it has a tzuris hapas, then you say hamoitzi. That's not the same usage of the term tzuris hapas that Tosfos uses. Tosfos says, if you have oatmeal cereal, wheatina farina or something, it doesn't have tzuris hapas, it's not chai b'chalo, and it never will become hamoitzi. It'll never be required until tzedai. That's bar minim mezainis, that's all. That's not a subcategory of pas. So the Rabbein Tam says, how do you determine whether it's called lechem or not? So the Mishnah in Chala, it's relevant to Chiyuv Chala, Oibacholchem lechem aretz, and it's relevant for Hamotzi and Berchas Hamoz and so on. So the Mishnah says, either Tchilosa Isa or Sofa Isa. Tchilosa Isa means I had a blila over, it's a thick dough. So even if after kneading the thick dough, you cook it in hot water and you make it edible and never had an afia, it's still chai ben chala, it's called lechem, and you say hamoitzi. Unless it's eaten as a snack, if it doesn't have that tzuris hapas, as a tzuris hapas, that it's a loaf shape, it's a loaf shape, so it has that tzuris hapas. But if it has other flavoring in it, then it'll be a lactose, a pas of bread. So then it depends whether you kaveh suda or not. So Rabbeinu Tam says, Tchilasa Isa means if it has a thick dough, even if you cook it in water, it's also going to be hamotzi, it'll be chayim achala. And if it has Sofa Isa, means if you did an afia, even if in the beginning it was a batter, there was no lisha. Lisha by definition means a thick, a blila over. If it had a blila raka, means it's a batter that it pours. So then it'll only be chayim achala, it'll only be called lechem if you make an afia later on. That's how Rabbeinu Tam translated the words in the Mishnah in Chala. Tchilasa Isa means I had a blila ova, alisha. Vesofa Sufgana means I did a bishal on it. So it's called lechem. And Tchilasa Sufgana means I had a blila raka. Vesofa Isa had an afia, then it's also chay mechal. So Mi'ikar Adin, we don't pass them like this, Rabbeinu Tam. So I mentioned the Gemara in the first Perek in Sanhedrin, as well as in the end of Bava Kam and the Sugya Pshina Kaina. So the Gemara quotes a brisa commenting on the pasuk, "Ubatzeh berech niyetz Hashem." A ganav is a batzeh. If the ganav steals and then he does a mitzvah with the material that he stole, he recites a bracha. So that's as if he's megadav his Hashem, niyetz Hashem. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is not thrilled; he's not happy with that bracha. The ganav says a bracha over the thing that he stole. So the Gemara, the brisa gives a mashal, harish a gozel sor shel chitim. He stole a bushel of grain, tchana, he grinds it up, the ganav grinds it up, he makes it into flour, velosha, he kneads it, va'afor, and he bakes it, v'hifrish menachala, he's mafish chala, ketzav nevarach, what bracha should he say when he's mafish the chala? Shekirishanim tzotzman, afrash has chala? No, areza neitzas Hashem, shenema, b'tzei berach neitzas Hashem. So the Tosfos raises a question. The ganav is ben adam l'chaveri, he's not observed. But ben adam l'makom seems to be a very ultra-religious person. He wants to be mafresh chala. So why is he mafresh chala after he baked it? He says, tchana, harei shegozal sor shel chitim. He stole a whole container full of grain, kernels of grain. Tchana, v'afor, v'hifrish menachal. He ground it up and losha, he kneaded it. And then he baked it, and then he's mafresh chala. We're always mafresh chala before you bake it. Why did the ganav wait? He didn't know the din. No, he knows all of Benonim Lamakam, so he's very makbet about it. Not just Benonim Lachaveris. That's unfortunately, the Gemara says, many people, Midu Choshed Amamaino, Lachoshed Ashvosa. A ganav who's choshed to violate Benonim Lachaveris, he's careful not to spare Shavua Shekin. So the Gemara says, that's why we will insist that people a lot of times should take a Shavua. They'll be choshed to steal someone else's money, but they're not choshed him to swear. Being the choshed money, lo choshed ashvosa, because shvua sheker is ben adam lamokim. And hey, there's only ben adam machaver, so they don't care about that. So the Rabbeinu Tam explains, it's a little Tosfos in the first Perek in Sanhedrin. So the Tosfos said, this raisa sounds like the Rabbeinu Tam. The ganav was making a fancy cake. He didn't make a bread that had a blila. He made a fancy cake that had a blila raka, a batter. So if it had a batter, then you're not chayv and chal until after you do the afir. Either chilasa isa means you had a lisha, a blila ova, or you had an afir. Sofa isa means you had an afir, one or the other. So the Rabbeinu Tam says that gemara seems to support his position. Yeah. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, one could be, you have to be mafresh chala after the ready has a shem lechem. So it had a blila ova, then you could be mafresh chala. If you did a leash of blila ova, then you can mafresh chala right away. But if it had a blila raka, it's a batter, then you can't begin to be mafresh chala till after you bake it. Then the afia gives it a shem lechem, and then you can be mafresh chala. We don't, in Shulchan Aruch, we don't paskin like this, Rabbeinu Tam. This is a famous Rabbeinu Tam. Is both in brachas and in psachim barichas, along arichas, but we don't pass like it. In Shulchan Aruch, we pass like the Ramban. So we said the Meiri Shita is, and you need both blila ova and afir. You need both in order to be chay v'chala. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said, that his mother told him that when she got married to his father, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, her father-in-law told her that when she makes sponge cake with a blila raka, you have a batter and you pour it. Chalas chutz lortz is the rabbanon on top of the rabbanon. Chalas bizman is an eretz yisol is only with the rabbanon. Chalas chutz lortz is a gzera oto chalas eretz yisol. So it's a the rabbanon on top of the rabbanon. So the Gemara in Bechoris and Dav Chav Zayin has a whole list of kulas, one after the other, after the other. A lot of kulas on Chalas Chutz Lo'aretz. One of the most prominent kulas is Ech B'Holach V'Hakach Mafrish. You can eat as much as you want, as long as you leave over a little bit of the cookies. Let's say I bought cookies from a bakery where everything is kosher, but they're not Mafrish Challah. Unfortunately, a lot of Jewish kosher bakeries are like that. They won't be Mafrish Challah. They think the only Mafrish Challah on Challah, or on bread. Some of them only think Mafrish Challah on Challah. Shabbos Yigachallah is not on bread. Others think only on bread and not on cake and cookies. So that's not really right. The Pashto says, Yechayv, the cake and the cookies have a loaf shape that has a body to it and has a shem lechem. It's a subcategory of lechem. It's pasabo b'kisnim. But since it's lechem, it's included by a bachochem and lechem ha'aretz. Even though you say mezonos and you don't wash until it's yadayim, you don't bench, you say alamichya, but still it's a subcategory of lechem. So it is by a bachochem and lechem ha'aretz. It's chayim and afrosh eschal. There's a difficult Torah HaShulchan and it says not so, but in Hilchus Challah. But the Pashto says not like Torah HaShulchan. So Rav Soloveitchik said that because Challah's Chutz Lo'aretz has so many kulas, so Rav Chaim told his mother that when she makes a sponge cake, she doesn't have to be mafrish Challah, because he can rely on the sheet of the Meiri, that in order to be Chaim Challah, the Meiri holds like this even in Eretz Yisrael Gufa, not just in Chutz Lo'aretz. Those that you have to have both lisha v'afia. So if you had a blila raka, you have a batter that pours easily. There was no lisha. Lisha by definition is only blila ova. So then there won't be chay mechal even eretzos. And eretzos, we don't pass like that. But in chutz lo'aretz, you can rely on that kud. The menezer also has like that. They're on sponge cake, where it's a batter, it pours. You don't have to be mafrish chal, but it gives a different reason. It doesn't say because you need both lisha and afia. He says, because that's not called afir, that's called bishul. Since it pours like a batter pours, very liquidy, it doesn't pour the same as water, but it flows, so he thinks that that's not called afir, that's called bishul. After it'll be baked, then it'll have a body. Then the sponge cake will have a body, it'll be a solid. But since it was pouring, so that's called bishul, it's not called afir. It's a different reason. To be makel, yeah. That, according to that, with Nezi, can be makel even, I think, even in Eretz Yisrael, not just in Chutzla. Chaim is only makel on the Chalas Chutzla. It's on sponge cake. So the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch is not like the Rambah, not like this Rabbein Atam, that you have to have either Lisha or Afiyah, either Blila Ova or Afiyah, if it's a Blila Raka, but rather everything depends on Afiyah. So the Ramban, so what does the Mishnah mean, Trilosa Sofo? The Ramban interprets differently. Chiloso Isa means when I mix the flour with the water, I plan to make an afir. I plan to bake it in the oven. And Sofa Subgana, the end of the story was it had a blila raka and it had a bishul. I didn't do an afir. But since it was Chiloso Isa, originally I planned to do an afir, there was already Nuschai Bechala because of the machshove that I had, so then it remains Chai Bechala even if Libesof. I don't do the afir. Or Triloso Sufganin, in the beginning he planned to do a bishul, but then the Besof he did an afir. So for Isa, the end of the day he did an afir. So the Ramban learns everything depends on afir. Doesn't matter whether Blila Ava, Blila Raka, you don't need Lisha. Everything depends on afir. But if when you mix the flour with the water, there was an initial plan to do an afir, even if you change your mind, that's called Chilosa Iso, so it remains Chai Mechal. But according to the Ramban, let's say I had, that case, I mixed flour with water and it's a batter, but I plan to bake it. And I do bake it, let's say, So it's Chai Mechal, and you could be Mafish the Challah, you don't have to wait till after the Afir. Not like the Rabbi Natan. That it had a bli lov, then you have to wait till after the afia in order to be mafrish challah, because it doesn't have a shem lechem till late. It can't be mafrish challah till it has a shem lechem. So the Ramban doesn't agree. The Ramban holds you can take a spoon and scoop out a little bit of the batter and be mafrish challah. So the Shach writes over there, even though the Shulchan Aruch pasul l'halacha like the Ramban, is one should perhaps be machmer like the Rabbeinu Tam, that he shouldn't be mafrish the challah to the left of the Afir. Because according to Rabbi Tam, whenever it's a Blila Raka, there was no Lisha, it only gets a shame Lechem after you do the Afir. That was his right from the Brisa Dat the Gana, Reisha Gozal, from the Gazla. But Zed Berch near Tzashem, I raise it Gozal, so shall Chitim, Chona, Velosha, Ba'afor, Behifish Menachala. Why was he Mafish the Chala after the Afir? Because he never did a Blila Ova, he only did a Blila Raka. So if you do Blila Raka, it doesn't become Chayv and Chana till after you do the Afir. So the Shach recommends, even though strictly speaking, according to the Shulchan Aruch, if you have a batter, you have a Blila Raka, and you plan to do an Afir, you can already be Mafish Chala now by scooping out with a spoon some of the batter. But the Shach recommends, as Amidas Chasidus, to be Choshesh Rabbeinu Tam. If I had a Blila Raka, not to be Mafish Chala till the end. So these were the three shittas about when you chayv and chala. The Miri needs you. The Miri is of the opinion in both Lisha and Afia to give it a shem lechem. Rabbi Tam says either Lisha or Afia, and the Ramban says no. Everything depends on Afia. Everything depends either actually having Afia or if you initially did the lila with the intention of making an Afia. So we mentioned last week. That both in the first parak and Daf Yutches, I think, and later in the Mesichta, Kuf Mem or something, there's a Machlekes Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yude, and Rabbi Machlekes Satanoim. If you mixed flour, you didn't see this on mine. I have a bowl full of flour. I made up my mind how much flour I want to bake to make a cake or cookies, whatever, and I poured it in the Sinas Amayim. So Nesinas Amayim is considered Tchilas Alisha. Chilas Alisha with respect to Chiyav Chala. If you're Mafish Chala, HaMafish Chala said Kemach, Le'osu V'la'klum. If I have a sack of flour and I didn't pour in any, I didn't mix it with any water yet, that's a Dovish L'Bod Yom. There is no Lechem. You can't be Mafish Chala. HaMafish Chala said Kemach, Le'osu V'la'klum. The Mishnah says it's not Chala at all. But once you didn't see Nes HaMayim, you're not Chayav Chala till you do Gilgal, till you do Timtum. Timtum means when it's already in a form of a dough, it's all blended in together. You did a good job of blending in the flour with the water. But when you just do the Nesinas Amayim, if you'll be Mafish Chala, it'll be Chal. It'll be Chal. That's the question. Is there a Hidr L'chatchila to be Mafish Chala when it's Nesinas Amayim? Or is that just B'dievet? So that's a Shaila, the Ramam and the Ravid. That's a question. How this works. Well, what is accomplished? The Ravid seems to hold that if you mafresh chala after the Nesinas Amayim, it prevents it from becoming a tevel. And the Rambam holds them no such thing. What if you mafresh chala in advance to prevent it from becoming a tevel? The chala can't be chal unless you have an isa. So the Rambam holds no, that the Nesinas Amayim is the beginning of the isa. So that's the machlokes, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yude, and Rabbi. Rabbi is of the opinion that on Shabbos, if he did this, since Nesinas Hamayim by Chala. If you mafresh Chala b'diavad after Nesinas Hamayim, before you did the Gilgal, before you mixed it together, you just did Nesinas Hamayim. So since b'diavad, the Chala would be Chal, so Rebbe holds that's a din, that's a Mishnah Chala. So Rebbe is of the opinion that indicates that's called the beginning of the Lisha. So if that's the beginning of the Lisha, so if one does Nesinas Amayim on Shabbos, even if he doesn't do the whole Gilgal, he doesn't do the rest, he only did Nesinas Amayim, it's already Chayv Chatos. That's already a Malach. And Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. And he says, it's not called Lisha until you do the Gemar HaLisha, until you do the Gilgal, or until the Timtum, until you make it into one big body. And then the Gemara has a Machlekes, so that's a Machlekes HaRishayim. Machlokes HaRishayim, should we pass on like Rebbe or like Rabbi Yosef or Rabbi Yehuda? Then there's a Machlokes HaMaroyim in the Gemara on the assumption that you pass on like Rabbi Yosef or Rabbi Yehuda, that it's only a violation of Lisha. It's not yet a violation of Lisha when you do the Nesinas Amayim. That'll be an Issa de Rabban. But the Issa de Reis of Lisha, you only violate if you do the full Lisha, you do the whole Gilgal. So what would, that's Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda holds like that. maybe we should distinguish between midi de bar gibel, midi de lav bar gibel. So we said the Mishnah Berurah, we're not sure what the Mishnah Berurah understood by midi de lav bar gibel, because he gives very strange mishalim. but there's a Sefer Shvisas HaShabbos that was written 100 years ago in Eretz Yisrael. He quotes heavily from Abtzut Esel Frank. The author's name, I think, is Rabbi Shmuel Malzahn. He wrote over a lot of things from Negro, different things from Negro, in the little Sefer Emunah Bitochen. But this, he has a Sefer Shvisa HaShabbos on the first 15-20 Malachas. It goes into detail, he has a lot. So he has a Hasoga, and the Mishnah Berurah was already available, he has Hasogas. So he gives a definition. What's the definition? Midah Devar Gibel. So he says, that's what we spoke about last week and 2 weeks ago. Let's say you take tuna fish and you cut up celery. So the celery is green and the tuna fish is brownish. And you use mayonnaise and you put everything together. So he says, the celery with the tuna fish, that's called Midah Devar Gibel. They're not going to blend in to be one. The water with the flour blend in to be one and the same. It turns into a dough. Then it's impossible to separate it later on. The dough is one unit. But Midah Devar Gibel means it's going to stick together because everything is sticky and it's tiny particles, not a big piece of celery, tiny little chopped up celery. So it's holding together, but it's a Midah Devar Gibel. It's never going to blend in to be one and the same. So what would, according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah, that you're not chayv on the sinas amayim on Shabbos, that's not a nisa deraisa, it's only nisa deraisa when you do really the gilgul, you made it into one big goof. What would he say by a midi delab bar gibel? So the Gemara has a machlekes, Abai Rabbi Yosef. Abai was a talmud of Rabbi Yosef, and he very often disagreed with his Rebbe, and we often pass like Abai. So there's a machlekes amaroim. What would Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah say by a midi delab bar gibel? So one version in the Gemara has it. If it's a midi de bar gibel, so it's not yet. If you didn't see this hamayim, that's not yet a malacha deraisa, because you didn't do the full lisha. It's only called lisha when you do the whole gilgul. But if it's a midi delab bar gibel, it's never going to blend in to be one and the same anyway. So then, even when you just did the beginning of the mixing, I threw in the particles of celery into the with the mayonnaise and with the tuna fish that was already chopped up, let's say. Even though I didn't mix it all together yet, I just put it in together, it's already chai from the beginning, because you're never going to make it more than that. It'll be more evenly spread around, but it's never going to turn into one unit. This is green and this is tuna fish. It's two different things. They're not going to blend in to be one. So that's one version in the Gemara, that if it's a midi delab bar gibel, then Rabbi Yosef bar Yudah would be moide, that from the very outset you've already done as much as you can possibly do, and so echai mishum losh. And the other version in the Gemara is not so. So the Tosfos Rit says, according to the other version, midi delab bar gibel is not called lisha at all. By definition, lisha has to be sidur de pas. It only applies when it's going to blend in to be one and the same. So these are different opinions in Shulchan Aruch, exactly how we should paskin with a few napkeminus lahaloch. How far? When is it called? Exactly when does one violate lisha deraisa, and when is it lisha derabban? If it's only lisha derabban, then there's room for kulus. If it's a real lisha deraisa, there's no room for any kulus. Lisha derabban to begin with. The Mishnah Berurah said also that we mentioned a few times. The Mishnah Berurah says that since in Sidur the Pas Lisha precedes Afia, so if you have something that already is cooked, let's say have the potatoes in the cholent pot, and you hold Chazon Ish that if you mash a banana with a fork, that's a violation of Lisha, even though you didn't have little tiny specks of flour, and you hold them all together with the water. It was one banana to begin with. So you're not being mechaber anything. You're not really being mechaber anything, you're just making it into a mush instead of being a solid. So the Chazon Ish was of the opinion that that's a malacha of lisha deraisa. Many others disagree that that's not called lisha. Lisha is if you have tiny little particles and you join them together either by adding some other liquid or by adding some outside liquid, yeah. So the Mishnah Berurah never said, that's what we find, the Mishnah Berurah never said that there's no, you can't violate Lisha if the food is already mabushal. He said Lisha deraisa is only if it wasn't yet cooked. If it's cooked already, since Lisha in the Siddur the Pas is before Afia. Food is already cooked, or the food is already baked. Then the whole Isha will only be the Rabbanon. So then, if a person is interested in eating it, on Yontif there's a Heterech on Nevesh, on Shabbos there's no Heterech on Nevesh, and on Melacha Deraisa. But if you're talking about Melacha's the Rabbanon, so then there's a little more leniency. It's only Lisha the Rabbanon to begin. So that it'll be significant to know if you're dealing with Lisha the Rice or Lisha Rabbanon, it's only Lisha Rabbanon, so there'll be more room to make some coolest. But to prepare the food for the behemoths or to prepare the food for the people, you do a slight shino. A slight shino is already enough to be matirid. So Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, because it's only Lisha the Rabbanon anyway, because the food was already cooked in advance. But that's important to know whether you're dealing with Lisha the Rice or Lisha the Rabbanon. Okay, that's when the reception wasn't working last week. That's what we said. Okay, then we started to discuss a little bit gozeis. So we said one is permitted to perform a bris on Shabbos if it's a mila bisman. If it's a mila shalai bisman, you're not allowed to. Even if it's a sotik mila shalai bisman, baby is born ben ashmashes. So if it's a sotik, if it's mila bisman, mila shalai bisman, I'm not derech a Shabbos, not derech a yontif either. That's all every Shadim say. A Sofik Milush Lev Bizmana is not Dech Yontif either. Rabbi Yitzhala Panavesh was a big Baal Mecharish. Rabbi Chaim considered him the greatest Baal Mecharish of that generation, but he was such a Baal Mecharish, so most of his Chidushim Halach Lemaisa were not accepted by his contemporaries. He had a little bit too much originality. So he came up with the original idea, but it's against the Beferish Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara should have been somewhere else, but it happens to be in Chulin. He came up with a Chiddush that not only is it permissible to do a Melach HaYantav with Tzorech HaLchol Nefesh, if it's Tzorech HaYom Ktas, is also Mutter. What's Tzorech HaYom? A Mitzvah HaYom. So let's say I expect guests on Yantav, and I have to give them some cookies, some. I may get 10 guests, and each one may eat 5 cookies. I'm only allowed to bake 50 cookies, 10 times 50 cookies. So the Ramban writes in the Mohammed Simsochim, you make enough cookies to make sure that everybody can have doubles and triples and extra. Whatever you think may be a suffix, Yochel Nefesh is also a Tzorech HaYom Ktas. Doesn't have to be a Bada Yochel Nefesh. If it's a suffix, maybe someone will want to eat it. Just that it should be more, that it should look better, that they shouldn't feel as if they're eating the last cookie, that you're not allowed to do. But if there's a possibility, some of the guests may want to eat some more, so then you don't say Sveika L'chumer, you don't say Safik D'Raisa L'chumer, the Safik Al-Chanavish is a Tzorech HaYom Ktas. So that's what he came up with, a Chiddush, that on Yontif, if it's a Safik Lila Bizmana, Milush La Bizmana, he thought that there's room to be Mekel because it's Tzorech HaYom Ktas. And they all point that. Seems to be against Beferish Gemaras. We don't allow that. So obviously, Mila on Shabbos is a Malacha Deraisa. What Malacha is it? So this is a big discussion in the Rishonim. So the Pashtus is that the Malacha involved in Mila is bleeding, Chavola, Chavol, the Behema, Chavol Barim, here cause bleeding. That's a Malacha. What's the Malacha that we discussed already? The Gemara says Chavol is a Malacha. What's the malacha? So the Rambam was of the opinion that chavola is a told of disha. Just like when you squeeze out juice from the zeisim anovim, here you're squeezing out dam from the body. So that's a disha. And Rashi says that chavola, if you make a black and blue mark, that's tzoveya. So the shayla is, but if you don't black, you didn't make a black and blue, you take a razor and you cut one of the capillaries or something, you cut a vein. And it's bleeding, and it doesn't have any black and blue marks. So why is that so bad? So that's why Tosfos is not happy with Rashi. Tosfos is not happy. Tosfos and Shabbos is not happy with the Rashi. So the general accepted opinion is the way Tosfos said, because that Rambam said that's what it says in Yerushalmi. That if you cause bleeding, the malacha is Natilus and Shama Shochet. Shochet is one of the lamentas of his malachas, but Shochet means I killed the organism. I killed the whole balchai. But over here, I didn't kill. So that's what Tosfos borrows an expression that appears in the Gemara. It appears in the Gemara in different places. So the Yeshiva Bachmol think Tosfos is using the expression Malikot Lekula, Malikot Lepalga, If you cause, what's the difference whether you cause a little bleeding or you cause an animal to die from loss of blood? So the yeshivas, they think Tosfos is quoting the Gemara in Perek Merubah and Bava Kamma. They're not quoting Gemara Merubah as a difference. They're quoting Gemara, the end of Nida, where the Gemara has that expression exactly on this topic. Because the pasuk says ki adam hu anefesh, that the blood circulation keeps the animal alive. That's what we pointed out. The world of medicine didn't know this till a few centuries ago. And then the Chumash existed from way before. A few thousand years ago, the Chumash was given. So it says, the Chumash ki adam hu anefesh, the blood circulation keeps the organism alive. So therefore we say, malikot lekula, malikot lepalga. If you cause bleeding, you're taking out part of the dam, that ki adam hu anefesh. The dam keeps the animal alive, keeps the organism alive. So that's what Tosfos says, that it's until Hashem, that's what we assume. So what is it? So why is there blood by Mila? So we assume the Mishkan is Yanki quotes a passage from the Zohar, on Parshas Lech Lecha. The Zohar learns out from the Psukim three phrases in one pasuk, that you need the three parts to every bris mila. There's mila, there's priya, there's atafas dam bris. Mila means the orla, eva ha-orla, is covered over with two kisuyim. So the outer or ha-orla is a thick skin. And then the lower one is a thin membrane, or ha-priya. So that for many years they just folded it over. They ripped it, they folded it over, now they cut it off. So you need Nila to remove till the days of Yeshua ben Nun, from the days of Avraham Avinu till the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they didn't do Priya. It wasn't necessary to do Priya. From the days of Yeshua ben Nun, it says in Sefer Yeshua, when they were going to Gilgal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Yeshua, Shuv Molas Bnei Yisrael Shenis. Everybody should have a second bris mila. I can't have a second bris mila. There's nothing to cut. The Gemara says no, because until the days of Yeshua ben Nun, you only did Mila, you didn't do Priya. But now that after Yeshua ben Nun was told it didn't change it, so now you need Mila and Priya. And the Mishnah says twice in the same parak. You have the Mishnah parak Ablez and the Mila. Mol v'lai para, kila loy mol. That's very strange, as Tosfos Yonta points out. Sometimes you have the Mishnah repeated from one Masechta to the other, but have the same Mishnah repeated twice in the same parak. In the same parak Ablez and the Mila, the 24 prokim on Masechta Shabbos, there's one parak that has all the dinim, as many of the dinim, doesn't have all the dinim, as most of the dinim are bris milah. So it says twice in that parak in the Mishnah, after the days of Yeshua ben Nun, the priya is ma'akev. And then the Zohar says the third phrase in the pasuk, that you need hatofas dam bris. You need a little bit of blood should come out at the time of the bris milah. Years ago, the Agudas Rabbanim in America made a whole issur that you're not allowed to use. Some of the moilim started a whole shtick that they developed a clamp that should prevent, there shouldn't be too much bleeding at the time that they do the bris mila. So they put on a clamp and they tighten it. A little blood, and then they wait a few moments, and then they do the bris mila. So when they do this mila, a little blood comes out, but that blood was already dead blood before they cut off the or harlem, because they used the clamp already. When they're doing the bris mila, cutting off the or harlem, or a priya, no blood comes out because of the incision. Blood that comes out was already detached from the body from before. But that's what the Agudas Rabbanim felt, that that's not proper, you're not allowed to use. If you have a Mogen clamp that just protects the Eber Ha'orla, protects the Eber, that the oil shouldn't slip and cut the wrong thing, that's for protection, but it's not stopping the blood flow. So this is all based, this Agudas Rabbanim Isser, you're not allowed to use that clamp, this is all based on that passage from the Zohar quoted by the Mishkan Es Yankiv, that you have to have three parts to every bris. You have to have Mila, Priya, and Hatofas Dam. I remember when we learned Perek Ablez de Mila, when we learned this Dim, Sarab Soloveitchik suggested a possibility. He thought he had a mocker a little bit in Rishonim, not exactly, it's a slight mocker. Maybe Hatofas Dam bris is not really needed. Maybe there's nothing wrong with the clip. He gave a suggestion. Maybe you only need Hatofas Dam bris when a baby is noilad mahul, so there's nothing to do a bris mila about. Or if a nochri did the mila, or if he did the mila balayla, let's say, or toch shmaina, if he did the mila, the psul, so you want to cut the mitzvah mila. So when, and now there's nothing to cut. There's nothing to cut because the baby is already not an oral. So you need a Hatofas Dam bris as a substitute for a bris. But if you're actually doing a bris, and the yom hashmini by yom, and a Jewish mile, everything is good. Who says that you need Hatovas Dam? The only time it says Hatovas Dam Bris in the Gemara is if a baby was Nalad Mahol, or a Nochri a Nochri had a circumcision before he converted. Then he wants to be converted, so you have to have Mila. So he has to do Adav. He can't do Mila, he doesn't have any Orla anymore. So you have to do Adav and Dam Bris, that takes the place of the Mila. That was Rav Soloveitchik suggested. Maybe not like the Zohar. Maybe Medina de Gemara, he wasn't really fully convinced that you need any Hatavas Dam Bris. But the Dvar Avraham has a whole comment on it, Taisus, in the beginning of Ksubis, where Taisus is talking about the Mitzitza. So the Gemara seems to say, it's a simple meaning of the Gemara, Mitzitza is not really an integral part of the mitzvah of Mila. You just did Mila Priya, maybe you need Atavas Dam, but to draw out extra Dam, the Pashtus and the Gemara, that's not part of the mitzvah of Mila. That's for medical purposes to prevent infection. So that's the Shaila Bizman Hazeh, that the doctors use antiseptics. It's already many generations that they use antiseptics. So there won't be any infection anyway. So we have better ways of avoiding infection without doing mitzitzas. Maybe the man is that you don't need mitzitzah at all. That's what Rabbi Tenno Zechan Lebracha used to title like that. The man is that you don't need mitzitzah. Tver Sola Mishnayis has that taina. He wants to suggest maybe the man is that you don't need mitzitzah, but at least he certainly should need mitzitzah b'peh. Years ago, they used to do mitzitzah b'peh, and then many discontinued it, because if the moel was carrying a sickness, he would convey the sickness, but with an open wound. He would infect the baby with the sickness. There were a lot of babies who died. A lot of babies are dying every year, and because of moelim who are carriers of infectious diseases, and they transmit it to the babies. It's very unfortunate. So many deny that it's true, but many say that it is true. So Rav Soloveitchik also said that Nikra Din, you don't even need mitzitza. So the Shaila is, what malacha are you doing when you do a bris mila on Shabbos? What malacha are you doing? So we usually assume the malacha is the chavola, the bleeding. So if Hatofas Dam if you say like the Zohar, there are three parts to the mitzvah of Mila. You need Mila and Priya and Hatofas Dam. If you say you need three parts, so the shot is like this. If Bizman Hazeh, the doctors say that for health purposes to prevent infection, there's no need for mitzitza. So how are you allowed to do mitzitza on Shabbos? Bizman Gemara, they understood, right or wrong, their understanding was that they're doing mitzitza to prevent infection. It's a sotik sakonis nefosh. So you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. You're drawing out blood. But Bizman Hazeh, the doctors have an antiseptic. So what's the hazard to do mitzitza on Shabbos? That's what Rabbi Tandy used to say. You're not allowed to. You don't need mitzitza. And you're not allowed to do mitzitza on Shabbos because there's no sotik sakonis. But many of the Moilim still continue to do mitzitza. What's the heter to do it? See, if you hold the way the Mishkan Es Yankev quotes from the Zohar, that you need three parts to the bris, and you always need Hatavas Dam. You don't need mitzitza, but there's no maximum amount. When you do Hatavas Dam, you need a mashu. And the Chazon Ish writes, you don't even need actually a liquidy drop of blood. You don't need a Hatavas Dam bris. If you make a black and blue mark, so that's also Malikotel Palga. The black and blue mark indicates that that's dead blood. There used to be blood that was circulating, and now that black and blue mark indicates that there's blood that's dead over there. But the Chazon Ish holds that that's enough. That's called Hatavas Dam. That's called Hatavas Dam Bris. So Hatavas Dam Bris, there's no minimum. The minimum is you make a seredak, Chazon Ish says. Make a seredak, and it makes a little scratch. That's already Hatavas Dam Bris. And there's no maximum either. If you'll do mitzitza, even if you don't need mitzitza. But if you do mitzitza, then it's a hemshech of the Hatavas Dam. If you hold that, there are three parts to the bris mila. Rabbi Tendler's taina is correct. If you say, like Rabbi Soloveitchik said, that you only need Hatavas Dam when the mila was done with psul. So as a substitute, if a Nochri did the bris, or if the bris was done by Laila, or if it's not that Mahul, or Nochrish and his guy, Kishahu Mahul, so then you need Atavaz Dam. But if you hold like the Mishkan and Yankib Zod, that you always need Atavaz Dam, so whenever you do Mitzitza, that's a Hemshech of the Atavaz Dam. So that's what the Dvar Avraham was, the last Rav in Kovna. He died in the Kovna ghetto before they had a chance to kill everybody. Many people died. There was so much disease in the Kovna ghetto in the Second World War. So he died. So he was. He learned by Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. He was from the family also, from the Beis Harav, from the descendants of Rav Chaim Volozhin, I think. So he writes in his Sefer, Pshat in the Tesis, in the first parak in Ksubas, like that, that when you do the Mitzitza on Shabbos, why is it a Malach HaTzvicha L'Gufa? He's not going to use the dam that comes out. So he says, because even though the Mitzitza, the motivation to do the Mitzitza in the days of the Tanaim, in the days of the Gemara, was for medical purposes, to prevent infection, but Lamaisa, it's a Hemshech of the Hatafas Dam. So since the Hatafas Dam, all the Hatafas Dam is done for the sake of fulfilling the mitzvah. We say there are three parts to the mitzvah Milah. So since you're Mekayim HaMitzvah with this Hatafas Dam, that's called the Malach HaTzvicha L'Guf. That's a Shaila and Taisus in Masech HaShabbos, Rashi and Taisus and Shabbos. If I need something, I'm not gonna use it. I'm being Mekayim HaMitzvah with this. Is that called Malach HaTzvicha L'Guf or not?
Rav Schechter, how could a mitzvah change at the time of Yeshua ben Nun?
That's a murderous kasha. That's a very strong kasha. Tosfos says that kasha. A Navi comes along and he says, Rabban Shalom gave me a prophecy that we should change the Dinim in the Torah. From now on, there are only 35 malachas. Or from now on, there are 45 malachas. There are 39 malachas. Any Navi comes to change a din permanently, we assume is a Navi Hashekar. So how can they, why didn't they give the death penalty to Yeshua ben Nun? He said, the Rebbe Shalom gave him an avuah that we should change the din of Mila, that Mikan B'Yevach and need Mila and Priya. So Taisus in Perika Oral, in Yavam, says Takash. That's what the Gemara points out, that from the days of Abraham Avinu till the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they never needed Priya, they only needed Mila, to cut off the thick skin, outer skin, but the cutting off of the lower membrane, the thinner membrane, that was in the Schar days of Yeshua. The Tosfos says, Behechreach, we have to assume that it was Halacha L'Moshe Misina. Moshe Rabbeinu had told Bnei Yisrael that right now the din only requires Mila, but the day will come that a Navi will change it. He didn't say who the Navi is going to be. They become that a Navi will come and change it. So we have a few mitzvahs that were like that, that we spoke about at Birchas Hamazon. When the man came down in the Midbar, so they were obligated to, and they made bread out of it, so they were obligated to recite Birchas HaMazon, but Moshe Rabbeinu only composed Hazan HaSakol, the first brach. After the Yeshua ben Nun conquered Eretz Yisrael, so Moshe Rabbeinu had told them in advance, V'chalta v'sabata v'erachta s'Hashem alakecha, thank HaKadosh Baruch that He gave you the food, but also Al Ha'aretz, thank Him that He gave us Eretz Yisrael. So after Yeshua ben Nun completed conquering the land, then he had to compose the second bracha. And Al Ha'aretz HaToiva, the word HaToiva, implies Yerushalayim. Ha'or HaToiva Zeh V'Halavonon. So Yerushalayim has two parts to it. Number one is the official capital of Eretz Yisrael, and number two is the Makam of the Migdash. So when David HaMelech established Yerushalayim as the capital of Eretz Yisrael, first he had his palace in Hebron for 7 years. Then he moved his palace to Yerushalayim. For the next 33 years, he was the Melech for 40 years. So when he moved this, when he declared Yerushalayim as the capital, so he composed the beginning of the third bracha. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Yerushalayim as the capital. But he wasn't permitted to build the Beis HaMikdash. So when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, he had to add on the second half of the third bracha. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Yerushalayim, not only as the Ir HaBira, as the capital, but as the Makam HaMikdash, Yid Kachim Kalim in Yerushalayim, and so on. Yeah, so they were told in advance by Moshe Rabbeinu that the nature of the mitzvah will change over the years. Then where else do we have? We have in the days of Ezra, when they came back after the 7 years of Golas Babel, Ezra changed the script in the Sefer Torah. Instead of being the old Aleph Beis, he changed it to the Ksav Ashur, Ksav Shalimah Me'ashur. That's a machlekes in the Gemara. Did Ezra change the Ksav? That's how we assume. Ezra did change the Ksav. So what right did he have to change the Ksav? he should be a Novi Asheker. So the answer is no. It says in the Chumash, Kasulas Mishnah HaTorah HaZavs Ksav Shosid Lehishtanois. Moshe Rabbeinu already said from day number one, the Ksav of the Sefer Torah will change, a Novi will come sometime in the future, and I tell you, now it's a Gia Hazman to change the Ksav into a different Ksav. So that Novi was Ezra. Ezra was Malachi. He was a Novi. Ezra was Malachi. So he changed it. Then the Rambam writes, so several of the mitzvahs change. You had mitzvah of Milo change. Mitzvah of Bichzamozin change. And the mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah change. How you write a Sefer Torah. So there's one more mitzvah that's going to change in the future, didn't change yet. That's the Ori Miklot. In the past, there were only six Ori Miklot, and says, Kiachel Hashem Lokechaz Gibulcha. When I'll have all of Eretzot Tila and Har Pras, then we have to add on another three Ori Miklot. So the Rambam writes, this is one of the main differences between our religion and the Avodah Zarah. They say that since Yoshki came along and since Muhammad came along, the laws of the Torah are no longer binding. So we say, no, the mitzvahs that Moshe Rabbeinu gave are binding l'doros. So the only mitzvah that has yet to be changed is how many Ori Miklot we're going to have. So Los Hilava, when Eretz Yisrael will be going all the way till Nahar Pras, we're going to have to add on another three Ori Miklot. Yeah, that is correct. That the question that you asked is in place, very strongly in place. Yeah. So there's a big discussion. What malach is violated when you do a bris mila on Shabbos? If you say, if it's a sotik mila bismano or a badai shalab bismano, you're not allowed to perform the bris on Shabbos. We assume it's an isa derais. What's an isa derais? The Sar Mishanim say that it's the bleeding, that chabura, chavola. What do you need it for? That's considered a malacha tzvicha l'gufa, is that's an integral part, that's according to that Zohar. Mila priya and atofes dam is an integral part of the mitzvah mila, so that's called malacha tzvicha l'gufa. Okay. Other Rishonim say that it's misaken, that the baby has a bris mila. Now if he's a kohen, he's allowed to eat truma. If he's not a kohen, he's allowed to eat korban pesach. An oral is not allowed to eat korbanos. So once he's no longer an oral, so that's just like there's a misaken mana deraisa, not midrabbanan. Usually, this kind of misaken, a halachic misaken, is only, let's say, mafish tumas and maisvis. So before, vizasa bachila was tevel, now it's no longer tevel. So that's only misaken midrabbanan. A Tosfos says that if you take hadasim and you have berries growing on hadasim, there are more berries than you have leaves, so the hadasim apostle. But if you pluck up the berries, it'll make them kosher. So then it says, ve'imimatim yontim. Not allowed to pluck off the berries on Yom Tov because it's misaken. You're making the hadasim kosher. So Tesis and Yuma writes, they think that's only misaken midrabon. We spoke about that. And on the side of the page, Rabbi Kivega quotes the Rav Yoh, who disagrees with us, all the plucking off the berries would be misaken derais. But the Pashtus is like Tesis. But over here, we assume this would be misaken derais because the Gemara says, Amidush Leib is mana, is an Issa derais, so you're not allowed to do it on Shabbat. So we assume that might be a misaken mana deraisa. And then the third shita, some of the Rishonim say that the malacha involved in performing a bismillah on Shabbos is gozes. What is gozes? Gozes is if you cut off wool from the sheep and you're going to use it, you're going to use the wool to make clothing with it. Or you cut off fingernails, or you cut off hair, you take a haircut. So that's gozes. So the Dvar Avram says he doesn't understand. The Shita Mekubetza quotes an opinion. Shita Mekubetza, beginning of Ksubas, quotes an opinion that to do a bris mila on Shabbos is a malacha gozes. He said, what do you mean? I cut off an arm from an animal. That's gozes. Gozes is if you cut off the hair, something tzugachep, cut off nails, or a person has a wart, something growing on his body, and he cuts that off. A person... There's a Mishnah in the end of Erev, I think it's the last parak in Erev. A Kohen is a Balmum, and he wants to cut off on Shabbos in order to make himself a Royal Avoida. He wants to bite off. If he does it, Kedarka, that's a Malacha Deraisa of Gozes. If he does it, Shalok Kedarka, then it's only the Rabbanon. So if it's only the Rabbanon, so then the Mishnah says, maybe there's room to be Mekal, to do a Malacha Deraisa, Yideshinoi, it's only the Rabbanon. The Tzorach HaKrova Sakabana, maybe say Ein Shvuz Ban Migdash. So that's a discussion in the Mishnah, is the last perik in Erevin. So that would be gozes. The wart is something that grows on the body that you don't need it over there. But you're cutting off a finger, you're cutting off a leg. Why is that gozes? The gozes mean you're cutting off some dead material. Well, let's say you have dried out skin on the lips, and then you bite it off, something like that. So that's gozes. Something that's explained that really doesn't belong on the body. That's a shayla of gozes. But you're cutting off a limb. Why is that gozes? So the Bavram tries to soften the kasha a little bit. So he says maybe if you do a circumcision on a non-Jewish baby, that doesn't make sense to say that that's gozes. That's part of his body, of cutting off a limb. Maybe it's a different issue, but it doesn't make sense that it gozes. On a Jewish baby, where the Jewish baby is supposed to be a mohel, it's not supposed to be an oral, so there it makes sense, perhaps, to say that it's gozes. Maybe it's something that doesn't belong on a Jewish baby, but still, it's a questionable idea. We spoke about, briefly, we spoke about cholev. The Gemara says you're not allowed to milk a cow on Shabbos. What's the melacha? So there were six different sheetas and they were showing what the melacha is. So Rashi quoted one sheet that is gozes. What does it have to do with gozes? So that's what we discussed. The Egle Tal is a safe on the Lamatas of his melachas. He didn't, I think the last melacha that he deals with is gozes. He has the Sidur that passes the first 11, then he has gozes, and then he didn't finish the rest. The Haskalah of all of the melachas you'll find in the Tshuvas Abdineza. He started the work, but he didn't put everything all together with all his finishing touches past the first 12 malachas. So the last malach he talks about is gozes. So he points out there seems to be a machlokes harishonim, a gozes from a dead animal. His gozes only when the animal is alive, so in a certain sense it's like kotzer. There are three malachas. Netilus and shama means I kill an animal. As an animal, a chiyus of an animal. If I do ktsira, so something is growing on a tree, and I pluck off the fruits, so that's it was had vegetative life, and now it's no longer growing from the ground. So that's kotzer, is a form of netilus and shama, but vegetative life, not animal life. And then gozes is the dead material that grows on an animal. The fingernails and the hair is dead material. It's not really like the flesh or the skin or something like that. So that's gozes. So some rishonim are of the opinion that to milk a cow, the milk is not live material. It's milk. So you're cutting off something from a live animal that's not really part of the animal itself. That's a malacha of gozes. You have a few, and Rashi doesn't like that. Rashi thinks that it's not gozes. Most of the rishonim hold that the malacha involved in milking a cow is dosh, and others gave other opinions. So gozes comes up, b'shayla halacha l'maisa, gozes comes up in Shulchan Aruch. We have a very old practice that a woman has to go to mikveh, so she cuts down her fingernails before she goes to the mikveh. Why so? Because of chatzitza. What do you mean chatzitza? Chatzitza is they have something extraneous on the body. Here, just have the fingernails. The fingernails grow from the body. So this is based on the Ravid and the Balei HaNefesh. It's a chumrah. Mikra din, you really don't have to, but we're machmer for this. There's a Mishnah Mikvois, at the end of Mikvois, it talks about Tfilas Kelim. If a kli is tamei, and you have to be tabel to clean the mikvah. So let's say you have a frying pan that has a handle. And the handle is way too long. Handle is 2 feet long. It's in the way, in the kitchen. That's not normal. So I plan to cut it down to size. There's a normal standard size. Someone screwed on a handle, that's way too long. So he's not going to unscrew it. He's going to cut off part of the handle. So if that cleat became torn, you want to be toivel in the mikveh. So the Mishnah says you only have to be toivel till the point where you're going to cut it off. Since you plan to cut off that extra part that of the handle, that's not considered part of the cleat. So that's what the Ravid says. If a person has a lot of hair, and he needs a haircut, and he plans to go to the barbershop, so the hair that he plans to cut off is considered extraneous material. Or let's say someone has long, long fingernails, and he's bothered by the fingernails, and he plans to cut off the nails. So the nail that he plans to cut off is like the extra part of the handle that he plans to remove. So it's not considered, no longer considered an integral part of the kli, because the extra part of the handle doesn't belong. So the extra part of the fingernail, the extra part of the hair that they plan to take a haircut, cut off, is considered as if it's a chatzitza on that spot. The extra part of the nail is touching the tip of the nail where it should have been cut off over there. So that's a chumrah that we consider that it's a miut, it's a chatzitza. I mean, I thought it's only a chatzitza if it's a miut ha-makbid. Here it is makbid. He wants to take a haircut. He has too much hair. He wants to cut off his nails. Nails are too long. It's bothering him. But it's only a miut. So it's only just talking about a chumre and a chatzitza mid the rabbanon. Chumre. Let's say a woman really needs a haircut, and then she goes to mikveh. And then after she goes to the mikveh, the very next day she goes to the barbershop. And the beauty party, beauty parlor, and they give her a haircut. So that's Taka Shaila of Chatzitza. She went to the mikveh with the long hair, and the way Machmar not, the Machmar Lachatchila for sure. By many Hungarians, they have a minig that after when they first get married, they shave off all of the hair. Because if a woman has long hair, she's going to be tabled in the mikveh. If the hair is not going to be submerged under the surface of the water, so the whole tefillah is no good. Even though it's only a miut of the body, that's not a chatzitza, that's a lack of bias mind. Let's say a person is tefillah in the mikveh, and they leave out a finger, they leave out a hand. So you don't say, since it's only a miut of the body, man, I tell you the tefillah is good. No, you need tefillah. The whole body has to be bias mind. You need bias mind on the whole body. If the person is submerged under the surface of the water, fully submerged, and there's a chatzitza on a miut part of the body, so the worst that can be is going to be a derabbanan, if it's a miut ha-makbid. But if you leave out part of the hair, leave out part of the body, that's a lack of bias mayim. So even if it's only a miut, it's no good. So many Hungarians had such a chumra that a woman gets married, we shave off all the hair. So the Pischei Tshuven Hilchas Nida raises the question, he quotes from the Chassam Sofer and the Tshuven, raises the question, how does she go to mikveh the day before she gets married? She has this head full of hair that she plans to cut off tomorrow. She's going to shave off all the hair from her head. She's going to have a shaven head. So isn't that a chatzitz on the head? So the Chassam Sofer answers, no, since the minig was that they wouldn't shave off the hair till after the Bir Rishayna, so it's not yet higia hazman. It's not yet. If a person needs a haircut, if a person has long nails and they want to cut off the nails, so that's higia hazman. But over here, since the minig was, that's the way they set it up. They don't cut off the hair till after they're together, so it's not yet higia zman to cut off the hair. So that's the minig that for many generations, the women would cut their nails, married women who still go to mikveh, would cut down their nails, because it's right there in the Balei HaNefesh, right? We wrote a whole sefer on the laws of Taras HaMishpach and the laws of Tefillah and mikveh and chatzitza and all of them. So that's the chumrah. So the shaila is, what if the Leil Tefillah says Leil Shabbos and she forgot to cut her nails before Shabbos? So what can she do? So the Achrayim say she should get a Nochris to cut the nails for her. Amir with a Nochris is prohibited. So they say, but this is a... So some are of the opinion, the Rama quoted an opinion from the Sefer Huiter. The Sefer Huiter is one of the Balei HaTosafot from Marseille, from France. So the Sefer Yitzchak is of the opinion that Amir al-Nochri is mutam ha-makam mitzvah. So we don't really accept that. The Ramah recommends you shouldn't follow that. That's based on the Gemara in the first Perek in Gittin, Naches, that one who buys sodeh, he buys a field or a house from a Nochri in Eretz Yisrael or in Surya, or Surya also has Kedusha Tzoritz Medirabanan, so we allow Amir al-Nochri to fill out the sale, the document of sale. Because b'makam mitzvah, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, itira they allow amir liyakum mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael itira. What Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is the biggest mitzvah in the world. So the Baluita says no, amir liyakum is muta in any makam mitzvah. Well, we don't pass them like that. The Ramah recommends, even though he says people are mezalzel, many people are mekel. They allow amir liyakum in any makam mitzvah. We don't really endorse that. We say it's only muta. Shvuz the shvuz b'makam mitzvah is muta. Where does that come from? So that's the Taisus there in Gittin Davcha, Davches on the base, quotes the Gemara in Erevin. Ahu Yenuka, there was a baby boy that was born on Shabbos, and the bris was scheduled for the next Shabbos. In the days of the Gemara, they used to heat up water, and they would bathe the baby with warm water right before the bris and right after the bris to prevent infection. Rabbi Yosef Kara writes in the Shulchan Aruch that we no longer do that because the hygienic conditions are so much better. From the days of the Gemara till the 1500s, that we don't need it. We're not concerned about the Safek Sakon. But in the days of the Gemara, they considered this mamish a Safek Sakon. Like if you don't do mitzitzah, it's considered a Safek Sakon on the baby. So if you don't bathe the baby with warm water before and after the bris, it's a Safek Sakon because the baby may develop some infection. So the Gemara says you have to heat up water on Erev Shabbos. So the Hayunuke, and they were going to have a bris on Shabbos, and the whole kettle of water spilled out. But there were other people in the same chatzer. There was a mechitza around the whole chatzer. The other people who had hot water, but the chatzer, they didn't make an eruv chatzer. They didn't put away, eruv chatzer has to be davke pas, has to be bread. So they forgot to make an eruv chatzer. So tzedisa the rabbanim, and our Torah, it's all one big mishus hayochit, but Shlem HaMelech was geyser that you're not allowed to carry without an eruv chatzer. So to ask a nochri, so that's a simple reading of Gemara. The Eskan Nochri to do a Malach on Shabbos itself is only Midirabbanan. And here the Malach that you're doing is only Midirabbanan, because Benatar it's all one big Rishus HaYochad, there's a Mechitza around and around. So the Eskan Nochri to carry an Ochad Sheshenim Urebes is a Shvuz Deshuz. So Shvuz Deshuz B'makam Mitzvahs Mila is a Gemara that is Mutta. Rableza Ben Horkenes, Rableza HaGadol is of the opinion that whenever there's a Mila Bizmana, not only is the actual bris mila decha Shabbos, even the machshirei mila, even all the hachanas in advance. So Yolare, the Jew is allowed to carry himself, and the Rishus Arabim carry the knife. And with Mechamash Rablazer's city in Eretz Yisrael, years after he passed away, they still followed his opinion. He was Mar Dasra, so they followed his opinion. So they would break down branches from a tree and make a fire and melt metal and manufacture a knife. To carry the knife and the Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos to perform the smith, to perform the bris, to demonstrate how chaviv the mitzvah mila is, that every step of the way is derech Shabbos. So we don't pass on like Rav Leza, we don't allow the Yisrael to do melachas derais, if we don't even allow melachas derabbanan. But if it's only a shvuz, the shvuz, b'mak a mitzvah mila, they ask a nachrit to carry the hot water to bathe the baby before and after the bris. So shvuz to shvuz makam mila is mutter. Maybe it's only mila because mila itself is decha Shabbos. Maybe other mitzvahs that are not decha Shabbos maybe should not be mekel. So that's two opinions in Tosfos and Gittin Daf Ches. Two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. The accepted opinion is that shvuz to shvuz is mutter not only by mila when mila so chomer it's decha Shabbos by all mitzvahs. Shvuz to shvuz makam mitzvah is mutter. So that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. If the Isha has Leil Tfilos in Shabbos, she forgot to cut her fingernails on Erev Shabbos. So if she has a Nochris, so she has the Nochris to cut her nails. Preferably, she should cut the nails not using a nail cutter, an instrument, because that's a real Malacha Deraisa. She should cut the nails with her teeth. Not using an instrument. So that's all Yidei Shinoi. That'll lower the level of the Malachot or Malacha Derabban. But if it's not going to work, if they're afraid, you can hurt the person. If you're biting off someone else's nails, you can hurt the person. You can cause an infection, you can make trouble. So we say it's still only the Rabban. Why? Because the Mishnah in Shabbos says if you cut off nails, or you cut off hair on Shabbos, that's a malacha of gozes. So Tosfos says, but the way we paskin, there's a machlekes of Yehuda Reb Shimon, if you do a malacha, shein tzvicha legufa. I do a malacha and I don't plan to use the result that came out. That's the way Tosfos interprets. I don't plan to use the result of the malacha. Let's say I pull off apples from the tree and I throw everything in the garbage. So I'm not going to use the apples that I plucked off from the tree. Or I squeeze out orange juice and I squeeze out pizesim on them and I pour it down the drain. So that's malacha shein tzvich luka. I don't plan to use the benefit. I carry things in my pocket from home to the shul. I don't plan to use it in the shul. I just didn't bother to empty out my pockets. I have money in the pocket. I leave everything. I have the pen. I'm not going to buy anything, and I'm not going to write anything on Shabbos. I carry things unnecessarily. I'm not going to use it in a new location. So that's called a malacha shein tzvich lugufa. So that's a machlekes of Yehuda Reb Shimon. And machlekes had a paskin. So the Rambam and the Balamor paskin malacha shein tzvicha legufa is a din deraisa. And most of the Rishonim hold that, like Reb Shimon, that malacha shein tzvicha legufa is only forbidden midrabban. So that's what Tosfos writes. The Mishnah that says if you cut off hair or you cut off fingernails on Shabbos, it's a malacha. It's only if you plan to save the hair. But if you're going to throw it out, then it's a malacha shen tzvich legufa. It will not be a deraisa. The Bi'ur Agro, the Mishnah Brewer quotes this Bi'ur Agro, I think in Shin Mem, if I'm not mistaken, when he talks about gozes. So the Bi'ur Agro says, this Mishnah is the makor of the Rambam, the Paskin like Rabbi Yudit, the malacha shen tzvich legufa is deraisa. Which Meshuggah is going to save the fingernails or the hair? You take a haircut, and the barbershop, they throw out the hair. No one's going to save it. When you give the first haircut to a little baby, so some people save a little bit of hair in a locket, and they show it to the child later on, 15, 20 years later, out of chavivas for the baby. But normally, you give a haircut, you throw out all the hair. So Tosfos holds that that's malacha shen tzvich al gufa. It only be considered a malacha deraisa if you plan to use the hair, but to use the fingernails for something. So over here, the woman has to go to mikvah l'el Shabbos. So if she asks a nochris, so that's right away the rabbanon. Amir the nochris is only the rabbanon. And the malacha that the nochris is doing is also only with the rabbanon, because no one's going to use the hair or the fingernails. Here she's not cutting off this, she's cutting off the fingernails. So it's a shvuz, the shvuz, kamaka mitzvah. What's the maka mitzvah? That the married woman should go to mikvah as soon as possible. So shvuz, the shvuz, maka mitzvah is mutter. So this is a big question. The Mishnah Brura quotes the Rivosh, and then there are a group of Rishonim who have like this. Quite a few Rishonim say like this. Sricha legufa by gozes, maybe it doesn't only apply. Tosfos says the only time it's going to be sricha legufa is if I'm cutting off the nails, I'm going to use the nails for something. I'm cutting off the hair, I'm going to use the hair. But if I'm going to throw it in the garbage, that's called ain't sricha legufa. So the Rivosh thinks that it's not necessarily so. And many Rishonim say like that. Avnei Nezer, the Eid Leital, quotes a lot of Rishonim. The Mishnah Brura only quotes the Rivosh. But the Eid Leital quotes a lot of Rishonim and say the same, that Tzvicha Leguf is either you plan to save the hair or the fingernails for some purpose, or you want Yipui Haguf. My nails are too long. I don't like the way it looks. It annoys me. So then when I cut the nails or I cut the hair, I feel that I look better. I feel that I look better. So that's also called Tzvicha Legufa. Either I'm benefiting, I'm going to use the nails of the hair for something, or I'm benefiting that I look better. So that for Yipa Haguf, that's called a Malacha Tzvicha Legufa. So that's a question. L'chatchile, we should ask the Nochris to cut off the nails using her teeth or using her fingers. She should cut off the nails. So that's all Yidei Shinoi, because the normal way to cut nails today is by using a nail cutter or by using a knife, whatever. You don't do it by a dye. So that would be a shvuz, the shvuz, mak mitzvah, amir with a nochri is one derabbanon, and so Yidei Shinoi is another derabbanon. But if they can't do that, so there's still room, perhaps, to say that it's a malacha shein tzvichel legufa, because it's going to throw out the nails. Going to throw the nails out in the garbage, or it's shein tzvichel legufa. According to the Rivosh, if you're interested in cutting the nails because you want to look better, or you want to take a haircut because you want to look better, that's also called Tzvicha Legufa. So over here, the Mishnah Berurah has a long Bi'ur Halacha. So he says, she doesn't feel that she looks better with shorter fingernails. After she's going to no longer go to the mikveh, she's going to let her nails grow longer. She only cuts it off to make the choshish for the chumrah of the ravid. That'll be a chatzitza b'shas tefillah. So that's not really for yipoy haguf, that's for tzorach tefillah. So he said the Rivosh would not say that that's a malacha tzvicha leguf. And there's a Gemara in Bchairis, where the Gemara talks about someone wants to shecht an animal on Yontif. So Bismana Talmud, they had no refrigeration. Bismana Gemara, that was normal. You shecht an animal the day you want to eat the animal. So you shecht the animal, you salt the meat, and then you cook it today. Today, Bizmanazah, we have refrigeration. So even if the husband is a sheikhid, he doesn't shecht the animal on the day that his wife wants to cook flesh, or the day she wants to cook the chicken. Everything is geshochtna ready, she's going to take it from the freezer. So since shechting the animal is not an activity that's done on the same day, it's not usually done on the same day when you're going to cook the food. So by us, that's not called Echol Nefesh. Echol Nefesh has to be soon before. we don't allow, let's say, the woman wants to bake some challahs for Yontif. So a lot of people enjoy freshly baked challahs, a lot of baked challahs on Yontif. But would we allow kotzer? Would we allow the woman to harvest the grain and to grind it up and to make flour and then to make the challah? Nobody. That's the malacha that's done is mamruba. You don't do that the day you want to bake bread, a cake, a cookie. So you harvest the grain and you grind it up and you make flour out of it. You do that way in advance. So that's not called the heterech nefesh. So today, probably shechting the animal is not called heterech nefesh because nobody, even if the husband is a shechet, he's not going to shech the animal upon request from his wife that she needs flesh to cook for today. So again, in the days of the Gemara, they allowed them to shech behemoth on Yontif. So the shaila is, when you're going to shech the animal by the neck, so that a lot of animals will have a lot of hair there. They have a lot of wool over there. So you may have to rip a little bit of the wool off in order that there shouldn't be a psul in the shechita. Because one of the chamish of shechita is chalada. Chalada means, let's say, I stuck the knife in between the skin and the cut and the veshet, and then I cut. So there's Shulchan Aruch Mechmed, that's a suffix in the Gemara. Shulchan Aruch Mechmed, that's also called, that could be chalada. So if you're going to have a lot of wool by the neck, and you're going to put the knife on the outside, so the knife is covered over with the wool, that's also a suffix in the Gemara. Maybe that's an issue of chalada. So they want to rip off some of the wool. So that's a shaila. Is that a malacha deraisa? Is that only the rabbanon? Ripping off the wool, is that gozes? So, he's going to rip up the wool and throw it out in the garbage. They're not going to use the wool. So it's also malacha shen tzvicha legufa. So the worst it could be is going to be the rabbanon. So we would probably allow it on Yontif. In the days of the Gemara, they used to shecht on Yontif to eat the flesh on Yontif. But according to the Rivash, even if you throw the hair out in the garbage, you may throw the nails out in the garbage, but if it's miyapa the guf, then it's called a malacha tzvicha the guf. So the answer, if it's not miyapa the guf, the behemoth doesn't look better because you ripped off a little hair by the neck. They're just in order to enable the shechet to do the shechita without violating the din of chalada. So here also, the woman wants to cut off her nails, not that she feels she looks better with shorter nails. She would like to have longer nails. But the minig is that we're machmer for this, so to enable her to go to the mikveh, so you have to cut off the nails. But that's still called the malacha shein tzvicha legufa. She's neither going to save the nails and use them for something, nor is she miyapa her guf by cutting the nails shorter. So that's what we call a shvuz de shvuz, b'makom mitzvah. So that's what essential or not, we allow it. So in Yeridei and Hilchas Nida, the Taz has a famous taina. He quotes a Gemara Makkos. Gemara says in Makkos that a Jewish barber who shaves off my peis and my beard with a razor, so he gets Malkus, the one who shaves it off. I'm sitting in the barber chair. Do I get Malkus also? So the Gemara says, no, unless I'm a Sayeya. If the barber says, please tilt over a little bit, I'll be able to shave off your beard and your pay is better. So if I lean over to enable him to do it, even though basically it should be Messiah Ein Bo Mamish, if you have Shnaim Shasu, two people did a malacha together. Let's say there's a heavy piano and you need two people. It's too difficult to carry the piano, one person. You need two people. One person holds one end, the other person holds the other end. So Shnaim Shasu, Sefer, let's say they're carrying a sefer. I could have carried the sefer holding, you could have carried the sefer holding the other end. You carry it like this. So Shnaim Shasu, so they're both put. But if it's a heavy piano and you need, the way they're carrying, they need both of them to do it, then they're both chayiv for the malacha. So if it's zeyochel v'zeyochel, then they're both potter. If each one could have carried the sefer without the other one, then Shnaim Shasu is potter. V'zeyochel piano, then they're both chayiv. Shnaim Shasu is chayiv. What if it's zeyochel v'zeyochel? One of them is a mover and he knows how to carry the whole piano on his back. Has the whole piano on his back, and the other one puts his hand on the bottom of the piano, just a slight support. If he takes away his hand, the other fellow's carrying the whole piano anyway. If the other fellow is carrying the whole piano, will walk away, this fellow's not going to carry anything. He can't. He just has his hand on the bottom. So that's Zeyachov is Zeyena Yachov. So the Yochel is Chayv, the Ein Yochel, the Messiah, Ein Bo Mamish. So despite the fact that we say Messiah, Ein Bo Mamish, the Gemara nonetheless says it in Makkos, in the third parak, Elohein Aloiken, so it says that the barber is Jewish, and he's shaving off with a razor, my beard, my payas, then he's going to get Malkus. Do I get Malkus also? So it depends. If I'm Messiah, if I lean over a little bit to make it easier for the barber to shave off with the razor, then I'm also like it. So I, but what happened to the din Messiah, Ein Bo Mamish? He can shave off with a razor without me tilting to the side. Just make it easier for him. So the Taz says in Sifanad Gemara that Messiah, Ein Bo Mamish, doesn't apply. It applies to carrying a piano, to doing a malach on something extraneous to my body. But if I have someone doing a pula on my body, and I'm Messiah, and the malach is done on me, then it's considered like Shalom Shasu. It's considered as if I did participate in the mice. So that's what the Taz Tain is. The Nochris cannot cut the woman's fingernails if she doesn't stress that she's stretching out her fingers. I can stretch out my fingers from today till tomorrow. If I don't have a nail cutter, the fingernails are not going to get off. But the Nochris can really cut off even if I don't stretch out. If I just have my fingers limp, the Nochris can come over and cut off the nails. She can pick up the fingers and go like this. She can do that. So it's really Zeyochel, Zeyochel. The Nochris has a nail cutter. She can succeed in cutting my fingernails. I can cut the nails without holding on to a nail cutter. But I'm Messiah Begufi. I'm leaning over and the Moloch is being done on my body. So that's what the Taz says. That should really be, we should say Messiah Yesh Bo Mamish. You shouldn't call it a Shvus the Shvus B'Makom Mitzvah. It's not Amir Eliakim. The woman herself is participating in the cutting off of her nails. So the Taz is not happy with this kula that's in Shulchan Aruch. So the Shach there has a long Ariches. He comes in Kodesh HaKesef. Kodesh HaKesef is where the Shach disagrees with the Taz. So he defends what it says in Shulchan Aruch by quoting a Ravid, Hilchos Avodah Zarah. The Rama has a dinim of shaving off the payas in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. What does it have to do with Avodah Zarah? Because the Rama is going with Shitasa. That in the Mar Nevuchim has a whole section of Chelek Shlishi where he tries to give some of the Tami HaMitzvah. So he says, the galochim years ago, why do we call them galochim? Is to shave off the hair. So that's why the Torah gave a din. You're not allowed to shave your beard, you're not allowed to shave your payas, but the razor and so on, you're not allowed to follow the practices of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So the Rambam, because of that, the Rambam writes all these dinim of shaving off the beard and the payas and Hilchos Avodah Zarah. So the Rambam quotes the din for the Gemara that there's a din. You're not allowed to shave off your beard, you're not allowed to shave off your payas. But the custom who sits in the barber chair doesn't get malchus unless he's Messiah. So the Ravid writes a comment. It's not clear whether he's disagreeing with the Rambam or he's just explaining the Rambam. That's the question. So the Ravid writes, the rabbi writes, the customer who has the barber shave off his payas is in violation of the law. It says, lo sakifu pas roshchem, b'loshen rabbin. So the rabbi writes, lav la makif, lav la nikav. The rabbi has this in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The rabbi is masig on the Rambam. The Rambam only counts it as one lav, that no one should shave off payas or the beard. One love on the pears, one love on the beard. Lo sakif pas roshchem b'galechu, not to shave the beard, not to shave the pears. The rabbi is masik, should have counted it as two love. Love la makif, love la nikif. There's a love on the barber and there's a love on the customer. Love la mashchis, love la nishchis. The Rambam should have counted it as two. So that seems to be a hasoga on the Rambam. Why the Rambam only counted one love on the beard, one love on the pears? Should have had two love on the beard, two love on the pears, one love on the barber, one love on the customer. But then that's the Ravid in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Sefer HaMitzvahs is the introduction to the Aruch HaZokah. So just like the Ravid wrote HaZokahs on all Mishnah Torah, so he has HaZokahs on the Sefer HaMitzvahs as well. And just like the Kesem Mishnah comes to defend the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, so there's Kesem Mishnah to defend the Rambam on the Sefer HaMitzvahs as well, on the 15 or 20 HaZokahs that the Ravid has on the Minyan HaMitzvahs. But then the Ravid has a comment in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. It's unclear whether he's disagreeing with the Rambam or he's just commenting. He says the customer who sits in the chair is over the lav for the customer, even if he's not Messiah, even if he doesn't lean over. He sits in the chair and he tells the barber, give me a haircut. He knows he's going to use a razor. He knows the barber's going to cut off the beard and the paste with the razor. So he says the rabbi writes, the customer is over on the lav, but he's in a loike because it's a lav shema maisa. If he's Messiah, then he converts the lav shema maisa into a lav shiyeshba maisa. So the shlach writes in the Nekudas HaKesef, that's the answer to the Taz's taina. The Taz claims that if I stretch out my fingers and the Nochri cuts off the nails, that's Messiah, which should normally be Embomaj, or Yerzi Eshbomaj, because it's doing the Malach of the Gufi, so then it relates to me, it's considered as if I cut off my fingernails. So he says, wrong. The Ravid explained, there, you're over on a lav, if I sit in a barber chair and he shaves off my beard and pays, I'm over on a lav. But it's a lav shame b'maisa. Here, if I lean over, then I convert the lav shame b'maisa into lav shame b'maisa. Here, the nochris is cutting off the fingernails. The Jewish person whose nails are being cut off is not doing anything. If he's going to be Messiah, that relates to maisa to me. No. If a Messiah just makes a lav shema maisa into a lav sheishba maisa, but if the one whose nails are getting cut on Shabbos is not in violation of gozeis, then just because he's Messiah, it's still going to be emor mamsh. It doesn't relate back there. So that's what the shach said. That's the teretz that the Taz is catching. Taz misunderstood. That's what the Shachar. Taz misunderstood. He thought whenever the malacha is done on your goof, whenever the malacha is done on my goof and I'm Messiah a little bit, then the malacha to Pu'ula relates to me. It's considered as if I did the Chil Shabbos. So the Shach says it's not right. That's not true. The only thing that's accomplished if you're Messiah, even if you're not Messiah, you're over on a lav, but it's a lav she'en ba ma'aseh. If you're Messiah, it makes into a lav she'esh ba ma'aseh. That's the Shach's Yishuv on the Minig against the Taz. So they quote in the name of Rav Elbel Soloveitchik in the Shiurim on Gemara Nazir, he thought that the Ravid's comment, that the Ravid says, if you're not Messiah, you're a Valab Shema Maisa. If you are Messiah, that makes him to Valab Shema Maisa. He thought that that's a Hasoga on the Ramam. Not that the Ramam agrees with that. He understood that that's a machlek, is the Rambam and the Ravid, and it's lishitosam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. That what? The Rambam holds that it's only one lav. It's only, the Gemara had, in Nazir, the Gemara in Nazir talks about this lav of shaving off the face. So there was one opinion in the Gemara that the main lav is on the nikif, on the one whose beard and face are being cut off, and the makif has an iser, he's not allowed to shave off my beard. That's a lav in the form of sort of lifnei iver. If the nikif is a bar mitzvah person, Jewish person, to shave off the beard of a goy is like shaving the beard of a pehinda. That Tosi said that's not a problem. But let's say the one who's shaving off the beard and face of a cotton, so the cotton is a lav bar chiyuva. So is the barber, the Jewish barber, is a yoyver on a lav? So there was one opinion in Gemara, the ikar lav really is on the nikif. And the lav on the makif is because of lifnei iver on the nikif. But if the nikif is a cotton, then the makif, the one who's shaving off the barber, is not over anything. Then the Gemara rejects that. The Gemara says, no, there's an independent lav on the makif. It doesn't apply if he shaves off the beard and pays of an achri. The beard and pays of an achri is like shalbeima, that's not. But it's even if the child whose payas are being shaved off is a cotton before bar mitzvah, and there's no lifnei iver, let's say, but still, there's a lav for the makif. So now Rav Elbele thought there's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. If the nikif is Messiah, what's the iser? So the Ravid says it's two lavim, lav la makif, lav la nikif, lav la mashchis, lav la nishchas. He's arguing with the Rambam because it says lo sak, piyasikarim lo yigalechu in the plural. So since it says in the plural, it means that there are two lavim, one lav on the makif, one lav on the nikif. They're both over and alav, and Rav Elbele. So that's what the Ravid says. The nikif is a violation of alav, and it, even if he's not misayaya, and if he is misayaya, he makes it into olam sheyesh b'mayis. But even if he's not misayaya, he's zarban olam. Now, Rabbi Leib thought that the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam holds only one lav on the makif. That's why he doesn't count two lavin. He doesn't hold lav la makif, lav la nikif. Only one lav on the barber. If the customer is misayaya, then it comes out that the customer was a makif. We relate the act of shaving off the payas to the customer. That's exactly what the Taz said. If I'm the Sayaya, then I relate the act of shaving off the beard or cutting off the nails to me. It's considered as if I did it. So Rabbi thought that these two machloikas in the Rambam and the Raivi, one is in the Sefer Mitzvahs, whether she can makiv and nikiv as two lavim or one lav. So the Rambam has one lav. There's only a lav on the makiv. There's no lav on the nikiv at all. If the nikiv would be Messayaya, then the nikiv became a makiv. We relate the act of cutting off the payas to him. So that's what the Taz understood. The Taz understood like the Rambam. So the Rambam holds only one lav on the makiv, and the Rambam would hold that if the customer is not Messayaya, he's not over any issue at all. And the Ravid writes, if the customer, the Shachlod of the Ravid, if the customer is not Messayaya, he's over a lav anyway. That's the Ravid the Shitasa holds that you should count it as two lavim. One lav on a makif, one lav on a nikaf. So that's the right of the Shittasa holds. The nikaf is always in violation of a lav, but it's usually a lav she'ema ma'isa. If it'll be m'sayeya, it makes it into a lav she'ema ma'isa. But according to the Rabbi, there's no mocker over here to say what the Taz said. That whenever you're m'sayeya in the pool, the malocha is done the gufo, it's considered as if m'sayeya yeshba ma'ish. But according to the Rambam, it is a good riot. So that's what Abdelbala thought. That the Taz's argument, that you see from that din of shaving off the payas, they say, yeah, yesh b'mamish, whenever that there is done b'gufi, that's l'fishitos haramam, he thought like that. But others learn not so, that the Ravid is not masik on the Rambam. The Ravid is explaining what the Rambam said. The Rambam also agrees that if the customer sits in the chair and he lets the goyish barber, the Jewish barber, he lets him shave off his payas, that the nikaf is ayvan alav, just that's a lav shem ma'isa. If he's Messiah, he makes a yesh b'maisa. It's not necessarily mukhach to say that the Ravid is masik on the Rambam, and the Rambam holds that it's heter gomer. That's a question in the Kes Mishnah there. Is the Ravid really masik on the Rambam or not? Anyway, so what do you do if there is no nochris? If there is a nochris, that the Shach defended the Shulchan Aruch there, he has the nochris to shave off, to cut off the fingernails. We hold that that's a shvuz the shvuz b'makam mitzah. Preferably, she should do it shelo b'kli, so it'll be al yidei shinoi. And if that's not an option, it's very hard to bite off someone else's fingernails. Very hard. If that's not an option, then we allow the nochris to cut off the nails even b'kli, because it's a malacha shen tzvicha l'gufa, okay? And if there is a nochris available, so then we say the whole thing is a chum in the first place. Mikir adin is not a chatzitza. So we tell the justice you should clean out if there should be any dirt in between the fingernail and the finger. So you clean out the fingers and you go to mikvah without cutting off the fingernails. Because mikra din, the whole thing is only a chumra to begin with. Yeah. Maybe I'll say a word on the parsha. They have in the Dibre Torah from the Lubavitcher Rabbein, I think they write in the name of the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, when he was a young child before Bar Mitzvah, and he was in Cheder, so they were teaching Chumash. So he noticed that in the word Vayikra, it's a small aleph, and the first word in Dibre Yomim is Odom, Sheis Enosh Kenem Halal. The aleph in Odom is a big aleph. How come over here it's a small aleph in Vayikra, and their Odom is a big Aleph? So he says that what caused Odom Rishon to sin was his gaiva. He blew his importance out of proportion. He was the only human being who was created mamish, maisa yitzir kabbashal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he thought that he was God's gift to the world. He was somebody special. And the Nochash convinced Chava, and Chava told the Rabbi to Odom, they should eat when the eight sadas v'isim kelehim yodei toivara. What does that mean? So the Mesillas Yesharim quotes a medrash that he made famous. Isn't Kelehim Yadei Tevera? I think Rashi and Chumash quotes it also, but the Masil Sham elaborates on it, that the Nochash was trying to sell him a bill of goods. How do you think God became God? God ate on the Eitz Hadas, and that's how he became so powerful and so mighty and so on. So if you'll eat from the Eitz Hadas, you'll be like Bari Ilamas, Isim Kelehim, Yadei Tevera. And they fell for it. That's why it's called Eitz Hadas. They fell for it. That's not what it means. Eitz Hadas Tevera does mean that you become like Elohim. Eitz Hadas Tevera means Tevera Merom Zebezeh. There's confusion. You don't know right from wrong. But that's what, so the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Sakinah V'Taiva V'Kovid, Motziim Esadim and Olam. The source of all Averis is Kinah and Taiva and Kovid. And the source of the three, Kinah and Taiva and Kovid, is Gaiva. A person thinks that he's so great, so that's why he has Kinah. He's jealous of the others. They have the covet that I deserve. They have the beautiful wife that I deserve. They have the position in life that I deserve. They have the parnasa that I deserve. Kina, taiva, I feel I should be entitled to everything. The covet, I deserve all the covet in the world. So the makar of all three is really gaiva. So the root of all sin, that's what the Kabbalah swarm at. The root of all sin is really gaiva. So the Adam, the Aleph of Adam, and the first letter in the Rayamim is a big Aleph, a giant Aleph, because that's what caused Adam Rishon to sin. He was a Balgai. And the little Aleph over here, Vayikra, some of the Rishonim write, I think the Baal HaTorah writes on the Pasuk. By Bilam it says, Vayikar Elokim al Bilam. The Mikra, Losh and Mikra. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, write Vayikra. Vayikra is Losh and Chiba, not like Vayikra, Losh and Mikra. So Moshe Rabbeinu was so humble, Adam Bikol Adam, so he didn't want to write Vayikra. He wanted to write Vayikar, like Vayikra Elokim al Bilam. But Hashem still told him, no, you write Vayikra, so he wrote a small Aleph. He can't say like that. What do you mean Moshe Rabbeinu decided on his own to write a small Aleph? Say the Torah won't be kosher. The big letters, the little letters, you have to have a Masorah from the Rebbeinu. He can't just write big letters, little letters, whatever you want. But somehow this small Aleph represents the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu was extremely humble. So humility is one of the crucial midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. M'chol makom sh'ata motzi g'dilosa shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shom ata motzi am v'son usoy. Whenever the Tanakh speaks about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all-powerful, it always speaks about his humility. We have to go always halacha b'drachav. We have to always imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because we were all created with Tzelem Elokim. We were instructed to preserve the Tzelem Elokim. How do you preserve it? By v'halachta v'drachta, to go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of the ikar nidus of Elokus is v'chamok m'shata motzik d'losa shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu shamanta amotze amesonusa. And it's interesting, the Rambam interprets on the Mishnah Pirkei Avos niod niod hevish bal ruach, that with respect to all of the other nidus, he always recommends to go b'derech hamamutza, in the middle of the road, not to go to either extreme, except for gaiva. Gaiva is the exception to the rule. Miod, miod, hevish baruch. You should go to an extreme. So that's what perhaps the small aleph in Vayikra represents this idea that Moshe Rabbeinu was so great because of his humility. Shadal was an Italian Jewish thinker, so he has a whole attack against the Rambam, that the Rambam in Hilchos Deis quotes a big chunk from Aristotle. You shouldn't go to this extreme, to that extreme, you should always go to the middle of the road. This whole thing comes from Aristotle. So he has a taina. Why did the Rambam take so much Aristotle and put it in his sefer? He should have quoted the Gemaras. Was he quoting Aristotle? So the Maariv Chayes has an essay where he tries to defend the Rambam. So he says the wording that the Rambam has, a lot of the wording comes from Aristotle, but the idea appears in the Gemara. That's the first daf in Masechah Soita, that in the Mishnayos, Soita and Nozer are next to each other, because in the Chumash, Parshas Naso, Soita and Nozer are next to each other. And what's the Smichas of Parshas? So the Gemara brings out the idea, Kol Haroi Soita B'Kalkula, Yazer Atzma Min Hayayin. It's not right that a person should be an ascetic. We shouldn't enjoy Olam HaZeh. The Rabbanu Shel Olam created a world, and he wants us to drink wine, he wants us to eat grapes, we should enjoy everything in this world. But you should go b'derech hamamutza. But if a person is roi yosoita b'kulkuli, if you live in a generation But there's a lot of pizzas. Then the Rambam says you have to go to an extreme. Where did the Rambam get it from? That's that Gemara, the first daf in Saita. We live in a world where there's so much geneva going on. Everyone is cheating. Everyone's stealing from other people. It's terrible. We should really go the chum in the other direction. We should go to the extreme to be machma and everything when it comes to gezel, harayas. Whenever the whole world is mekuko, you have to go to the other extreme. So the whole idea of going b'derech hamamutza, the exception to the rule is gaiva, the Rambam says, miod miod hevish valruach. But aside from gaiva, you should go b'derech hamamutza. The mokar is this gemara, that only if the world is mekuko, then you go to the other extreme till things straighten out, and then you go back to the derech hamamutza. So this is an idea that they quote, I think, from the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe, when he was a young child in Cheder. I think it was, Rebbe, the one who came up with this idea. The small Aleph represents the humility of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the big Aleph and the Rayama represents the Gaiva of Adam Arish. Okay, we should all be healthy next week. We'll continue with the Malachas.
Excuse me, Rebbe?
Yes.
It's Dave Steinberg. I had sent the Rav's wife an email regarding sending out an email to the tzibur about an upcoming fundraiser for a politician. With Rabbi Maskam, I believe legally it's permissible.
Okay with me? Good.
Thank you very much.
Good.
Very good. Purim? We're going to Moshir on Purim next week?
Good idea. Okay.
Oh, wonderful. Purim. Thank you.
Very good.
Okay. Thank you. Good night.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Very good.